Hey guys, welcome to our podcast. It's called It's Football, Not Soccer, because, well, it is football, not soccer. And anybody who does think that it is called soccer, you feel free to drop off from our podcast anytime. The normal talks, you know, just a bunch of lads talking about football, what they love. First, we'll start off with an introduction of everybody. I'll introduce myself first. I'm your host, Atharva Ranjan, and I am a Madrid and Manchester United fan. I have been a Madrid fan since 2014, and it was when I watched the UCL semi-finals against Bayern. That was when I was first influenced by Ronaldo and his greatness. And then I watched the finals, and then I was like, this is the team I gotta support. Then Manchester United, it was influenced by a bigger brother who follows United extremely because of Wayne Rooney. And now I've also been influenced by the same, that's why I'm following Manchester United. The first football game I watched was actually the UCL game between the year the Chelsea won with Drogba, which was quite the controversy. But yeah, now we'll start go to the next person, Atharva Bapat.
Hi guys, this is Atharva Bapat, and I'm a supporter of Barca and Manchester City, and I've been following them since 2016. Barca because of obviously Messi, the GOAT, no explanation needed there, and City because of Pep Guardiola and his reputation and his style of play, which he's brought to Man City, and it's been working wonderfully.
All right, next up is Amit.
Hey guys, I'm an Inter fan and a Chelsea supporter. I got into football around late 2017 because of PES 2018, and I'm a fan of defensive football, so Inter was a club that I enjoyed watching. And I got into the Prem recently, and with all the signings Chelsea has made, I thought that this would be a great team to support.
Next up is Kevin Tom.
Hey guys, my name is Kevin. I'm a Manchester City and Real Madrid supporter. I've been following both teams since 2015. Real Madrid because of Ronaldo was my favorite player at the time. And City because a lot of my family and friends were United supporters, and they were always trying to influence me to follow United, but I always wanted City, because I considered the historically lesser club, to go out and achieve more. And, you know, I wanted to support the underdogs, if you might say that. So, yeah, that's why I've been following City since then.
Guys, it's official. A City fan has admitted that City is the lower team in Manchester. Last up is Sparsh.
Hello everyone, my name is Sparsh Banerjee, and I started watching football in 2008 when I was 5 years old, and at first I found the game incredibly boring, but the only teams which excited me then were Manchester United and Barcelona. Manchester United because of the team spirit and of course Sir Alex Ferguson, and Barcelona because of, as Atharva Bapat said, Messi. So yeah.
He's lying, no 5-year-old is that smart. We were playing Beyblade back then.
No, actually I did.
Debate for another time.
Sure.
So we'll start off first with a normal discussion about the bigger teams, and obviously the biggest league in the world, the Premier League. First we'll start off with Manchester City. Atharva Bapat and Kevin.
Yeah, sure. So both of us support Manchester City, who have been doing quite well recently in the Premier League, as we all know. They are top with, I think, 4 points between them and United.
And the game in hand.
3 points.
And the game in hand.
And you got 13 wins in a row now, so like.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. It's 3 points actually. 44 points. We are on 44 points and you are on 47 points.
Yeah, it's.
Right.
Yeah. And a game in hand as well, which. It has been scheduled now next week, I think, against Everton.
Against Everton, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So, it's been good lately. Yeah, everything's like clicking into place. It was sort of a sticky start. Lots of draws and losing points from winning positions. but lately it's been working well. I mean, we have a group of performers, so like every time we have like one standout performer, this time we have like a couple who have all stepped up. So yeah, it's been great.
Agreed. City's depth is massive. It is brilliant. It's like you have one 11 that can start, and then the next day you can have a totally different 11.
Exactly.
4-0, 5-0.
That's equally as good,
yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like City hasn't changed the goal since what, like 1872? I don't know.
Yeah, it's one thing, but now the defense is sorted out, right? Yeah. So you obviously.
Yeah, that was our main issue for the past few seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now we have like the best defense in the league.
Yes.
And exactly. That can be attributed to none other than Ruben Dias, who's been absolutely
John Stones as well.
He's been brilliant.
John Stones.
Yeah, of course. Well. You can't forget John Stones. Can you?
Yeah. And Cancelo has also been like really, really good lately.
Yeah, exactly. We've just racked up clean sheets after clean sheets. It's been great.
To me, it's interesting because, you know, under Pep Guardiola, these past few years, even the years you won the title, you had like 100 plus goals like for the past three seasons. This year,
it's always been like, built on attacking power. Yeah.
Yeah. This year, it seems like your attack is like in the shadow of your defense. It's,
that is true.
Everyone is firing. Like,
we've missed quite a few attacking players, like obviously Aguero and now KDB. Yeah, so that has affected our attack. So I think that's one of the reasons why.
We still need that finisher who can finish games off. Like the games we win like 1-0 tunnel, we should be actually winning by 3 or 4.
Yeah.
We need the strikers.
And, I think Jesus has done well in recent weeks as well.
Jesus gets good the job. He's a good striker.
He scored 3 goals in his last 3 Premier League starts. So I think that's good. For us.
He's stepping up finally.
Yeah.
But we are the best defense in the league. I mean, like 13 goals conceded. After how many games it has been? I think it has been
21 for us. Yeah.
21 for you. Okay, so 21 games and 13 goals. That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you guys think about your UCL success, though? I mean, it's overall, you guys haven't been that great in the UCL.
It is something we always aim for, you know. It's something which has been missing.
I would like them
to go on and win this time. And we actually have a team which can win it because the defense is like rock solid.
Exactly. Yeah. Our defense has let us down in the past few seasons
like,
in the UCL.
Against Lyon last year. Like.
Yeah, the Sterling miss still haunts you, I guess.
Yes.
It does.
It does. Don't want to think
He's
about
been
it.
Doing that for quite a few seasons now.
he is the top scorer of City in the league right now with Gundogan. I think he has 7 goals with Gundogan this season.
He should be having like 12 or 13 scoring, I'm telling you.
Gundogan is so good, like especially right now.
He's
like going into that attacking midfielder position a lot recently.
Exactly. Sometimes he's also played as a number 9, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, yeah. Like we always
on the shoulder of the central defenders.
When we play with a false 9, when we play with a false 9, it always switches, right? Sometimes it's Gundogan, sometimes it's someone like Mahrez or someone like that playing in the center forward role.
All right.
Please do. Okay, so I was talking about the attack. So I think Sterling, in the first few weeks, I think our whole attack was not that great. We weren't scoring many goals. And even at that time, we didn't think Gundogan would step up like he has now, which is quite surprising.
Even De Bruyne was like missing chances left, right.
Exactly.
So it wasn't looking great.
I'll tell you the reason for that, because like before the 2021 season started, City and United did not have any preseason. So we both had bad starts, bad starts. So that's why maybe that's the reason like the fitness levels were low.
And we also had a lot of COVID cases and stuff, a lot of important players missing towards the beginning.
You guys had 14 players up for one of the games. Just 14 players.
Yeah, Chelsea. Yeah, I remember that.
Chelsea game.
Yeah.
I think that was the turning point in our season.
Yeah, that was the turning point. Yeah, exactly.
The game you won 3-1, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That one, yeah.
So you have been now 13 games undefeated?
13 games winning streak.
Winning streak.
Yeah, oh, winning streak. Yeah. Only one goal conceded as well.
Yeah.
Against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Heard of Callum Hudson or dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great time to hop onto the City bandwagon, huh? Alright, so I say we move on to the next club, the bigger club in Manchester, Manchester United.
Debatable.
Not at all debatable.
Smash, take it away.
It is the biggest club in the Premier League, Manchester United. And we are overperforming. We have to say that we are overperforming.
Definitely overperforming. I did not have any hopes for this season. Manchester United, I mean, our transfer window is just average, I would say. It was good, but it was with all the hopes of Jadon Sancho and nothing happening about it. It was kind of heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking because every single day of the transfer window, I used to check my phone.
Gosh, I remember that.
And I used to give you, updates. And I made an FPL league named Sancho is coming, and it backfired. But yeah, so I was pretty heartbroken. But we got Edinson Cavani, a 34-year-old. Alex Telles, that was a good signing though. And we got Amad Diallo. He came in January, and we were not back. Ollie wasn't back this season, so we had literally no expectations. Rajan, like, we never thought that we'll be like at the top of the league,
even for a while. No, I'll be brutally honest. I had at max, maybe fourth position. I had higher hopes for Chelsea than I had for United.
Gosh, let's not talk about it.
If you're talking about United, we have to talk about Bruno Fernandes. 12 goals, 7 assists, and 6 penalties. I know what you're going to say.
I was going to ask you, how well do you think you'll perform if Bruno gets injured for like the rest of the season?
I think we will barely scrape top 4. Like, I think.
Yeah. So. Because barely, we do have Van de Beek, but Van de Beek is still not as effective as Bruno is. So
yeah, Bruno is like a flair player, so he will like pull off, like he'll make 10 impossible passes, at least 2 will like look good. Van de Beek is like a safer player, so he doesn't lose the ball unlike Bruno. So like Bruno's injury would be I don't know what to say if Bruno gets injured, but like basically Bruno has kept us relevant.
To me, it's funny because like you guys signed Alex Telles, and like the entire time everyone is like United need a left back, and then you sign Telles and Shaw goes and becomes Roberto Carlos.
Shaw has been immense.
He's been amazing. Yeah. He's
actually both your fullbacks, even Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, like Wan-Bissaka
has 2 goals.
He's finally returning. He's been finally returning also in attack, not just at defense. Defensively, yeah, he's probably one of the best right backs.
Yeah, but he scored his career's first and second goals this season.
Exactly.
Yeah, speaking of United, so we have to speak about the 9-0 win. Completely dismantled Southampton.
We're the only team with 2 of the biggest PL wins in history
overall. So we won 9-0 against Ipswich
Town. Southampton are the only team who have lost 9-0 twice.
Twice.
Was unfortunate. It was unfortunate.
The same manager as well. It was the same manager, and he lost twice 9-0.
It was unfortunate because like the first player who was sent off, I think it was Jankovic, in the second minute, that was a complete latent threat.
The new signing, who was that?
The new signing, but it was a completely, it was a red. But the second red, me and Bapat, we got into a
Heated conversation, let's say.
Yeah, Sky Sports heated. We had a heated conversation about the second red. So
now the refs have backed me up by rescinding the red card.
Yes, but they didn't do it for the Luis one because they knew that would change the game.
Surprising.
Because yeah, that one, exactly. You were already winning 7-0 by the time that red card was given.
6-0, exactly. Actually.
6-0.
It was one of the best Manchester United performances I've seen.
Goals were scored, destruction was done.
Yeah, and because of that game, our goal difference has been closer to City's now. City's is, I think, 24. Plus 24.
It's a bit more, I
26,
think.
26. We won 20 at Burnley, right?
Yes, so 26. Plus 26. And ours is plus 19. But we also lost 6-1 against Tottenham.
Now we're the team with the most goals in the Premier League this season. Yeah.
46. Yes, so...
Yeah. Damn, you're like 9 goals ahead of City. When it comes to goals scored, that's actually
they've considered double of our body.
Yeah, exactly. Our defense is
that's true as well.
Yeah, our defense. I mean, Victor Lindelof.
Not been able to pair up with each other.
Yeah, Victor Maguire Lindelof and Maguire
this season.
Even as a rival fan, I feel Maguire gets hated a bit too much. It's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's because of his price tag. That's the only reason I would say.
The thing is, Maguire is a decent centre back. He's not a 80-85 million.
Yeah, exactly, he's not 80 million
centre back, and that's the
he's
only reason.
50 million.
He's like 40-45.
You can think about it this way. Neymar was never 222
million. 222, yeah, exactly.
But Mbappe was not 100 million when... 166, right? 166 when he was at Monaco.
It's all based on potential.
Yeah,
so if we saw that potential in Maguire, then I mean, I guess now it's finally... helping us, you could say, the way he's been performing, and his pair up with Eric Bailly especially has been magnificent.
Yeah, but Bailly is mostly in the hospital. So Victor Lindelof, he's a good defender, but as a pairing, Maguire and Lindelof, they don't work, I think.
Agree.
They
just don't link up well.
They are both typically the same type of player. You need two different types of centre-backs which complement each other, right?
Exactly, which is what we have at Man City. Ruben Diaz barks the orders and John Stones just follows.
Exactly. And Ruben Diaz, it's like, he does anything to get the ball out of danger. John Stones like plays it to try to start another move.
He's the ball-playing centre-back, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Maguire, he's like a semi-decent ball-playing centre-back, but aerially, he's a slab hit. And Victor Lindelof, he's a very good ball-playing centre-back, but the thing is, he doesn't have pace like Maguire. So if there's anyone fast on the opposition team, then most of the times we are screwed. Yeah, we're screwed. Because we have to play we can't play a higher line, and we concede a lot of goals. So, I mean, City's defense, I think Pep Guardiola, I think he decided that City will, last year you were not good defensively. You let in a lot of goals.
Which kind of led to Liverpool winning the title, in my opinion. I mean, City had
Laporte was out for it most of the season as well, which was also costly. And even after he came back, he was just not the same.
He hasn't been as good, has he?
Yeah, exactly. It's been Stones has
Stones has dropped him.
So, we also had Otamendi back then.
Otamendi is also a guy who gets a lot of hate.
In 17-18, Stones and Otamendi played like almost all of our matches, and we went on and got 100 points.
Exactly.
Company was injured most of the time, as always, towards the end.
Yeah, because like, he was good at one point, but you had a lot of possession in games. Okay. So you didn't give the other team the ball, so they like,
yeah, not much defending to do.
Exactly. Yeah, so basically, you want to talk about Liverpool then?
Definitely, I think we should talk about Liverpool. We talk Liverpool about, first we'll talk about Chelsea first.
Let's talk about Chelsea, let's talk about Chelsea.
Plan part fact.
Oh god.
Amit, you start off.
Dude, I was so optimistic this season, you know, you've got, Tammy Abraham had a great first season, don't get me wrong, but like, Timo Werner was like, let's just exclude Robert Lewandowski because he's like way too good. He's like the best player in the world right now. So leaving Lewandowski, Timo Werner was like the best Bundesliga striker, and getting him in for like 50 million wasn't that bad. Same thing with Havertz.
That was a bargain.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Definitely a bargain.
Exactly.
It was a bargain until it didn't pay off. Let's keep it that way.
With Sancho valued at 120 million by Dortmund and getting Werner in for just like 50, 52.
Yeah.
I had no hopes, like I said before.
Dude, it was mad. And when he started off, like, it was all right. Like, he didn't score initially, but there were positive signs. Like, he was winning penalties, he was running inside the box and stuff. I don't know what's happened to him. He's going on like 10-14 games. Like,
missing,
he's going 10-14
yeah.
Yeah,
easy,
goals.
Open goals.
Easy chances.
Like, he's missing goals. He is missing goals that he would have easily dispatched at Leipzig. Like, no questions asked.
Like, and in my FPL, I triple captained him.
Yeah, I remember.
With high hopes. Especially very high hopes.
Chelsea,
you know, initially I was impressed by him because he was running running at balls, off the ball as well, doing a lot of work. And, yeah.
Exactly. Like, if he wasn't scoring goals, he was winning penalties. Now every Chelsea fan, at least me, like, whenever we're running ahead, like, let's say we're breaking through on a counter attack, and I see Werner there, I'm like, don't pass the ball to him, please. Just like that.
What about Havertz?
Havertz again, yeah. I think Timo Werner has been a bigger disappointment than Havertz, but Havertz hasn't done really well either.
Most of the goals Havertz scored is against like Carabao Cup, like, Barnsley.
Yeah, I think Chelsea didn't have a plan when buying him. Like, where were they going to play him?
He doesn't fit in Lampard's fit in that 4-3-3.
I don't think he wanted him either.
Maybe not.
Lampard.
I mean, there was never any intention of.
If the board gives you players, you're never gonna say no, right? You're always gonna take the players.
The thing is, there was no intention of like malice or like on like this guy wasn't needed when Havertz was signed. Everyone was excited to see what would happen, and then he was gone and put on like a right wing, and that isn't Havertz's role.
Have Mason Mount, and Mason Mount has been.
Mason Mount has been Chelsea's best player this season.
He has been amazing because he has started all the games. Like, Lampard started him all the time.
And then he started with Tuchel as well, and he won man of the match against Tottenham that day. You can't fault Mason Mount. Again, Thiago Silva has been pretty solid. He didn't have the greatest of starts, but now he's been putting in good, decent performances.
Well, Chelsea's defense at the start of the season was solid. Because really
solid, yes.
With, I think they had 5-6 clean sheets, right?
Zuma's doing really well this season.
He has been dropped.
Yeah, they're playing Rudiger now. Yeah, they're playing Rudiger. Zuma's injured for a bit, I think. I'm not too sure.
Lampard, like, last season, finishing.
And getting, dude, we got, okay. The season hasn't been good so far, but we got rid of Kepa. Kepa isn't our first choice goalkeeper.
Mendy is pretty good though.
Mendy is solid.
In my opinion, I don't think he's like one of those world class keepers that he's been overhyped to be.
I agree.
He isn't.
Yeah, because I mean, Kepa was great, but Kepa was also an overhyped decision. Just because of the panic buy to replace Courtois by...
Yeah, the thing is, Chelsea needed a goalkeeper and...
Chelsea needed a goalkeeper, agreed. Because you have Willy Caballero.
This is not a thought out... thing. This was just a panic buy again.
It was a very huge panic buy, which, I mean, if they would have maybe thought about it a bit, maybe they could have got somebody like Onana from Ajax.
He got banned right now,
but you know, maybe if he was at Chelsea, we'd have different situations.
Probably. I mean, the guy fell sick and he was given tablets.
I mean, what do you think about Lampard though? Because last season, finishing fourth without any backing.
Fourth with his team, fourth with the team he had last season, like getting the best out of Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, everyone. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I thought it was a good finish. Like,
so were you season, in favor of the sacking?
I think things were never looking like they were going to go uphill. So I think I was. Of course, Lampard is a legend, but like Tuchel, I'm very excited to see what Tuchel does at Chelsea.
I mean, Ollie, at one point last season, before we got Bruno Fernandes, we were down and out. I mean, we lost to Burnley, and we were down and out. Fourth place was like miles away, and he should have been, like, most fans, they think that Ollie should have been sacked then, but he wasn't. And then he proved everyone wrong.
I think Arteta at Arsenal has been given the chance.
He has been given the chance. In Chelsea, this doesn't happen. It never happens. Like, if you have a dip once, you're out.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho, Conte.
Their most successful managers have got this treatment.
Mourinho won the league, and next season he like was almost mid-table. They could have stuck by him because he just won the league. But
the thing with Chelsea is like now with you take Man United or Arsenal into account. By the time Arsenal wasn't like, you know, the premium club it was, they were looking at a long-term project to like rebuild things, and that's why they brought in Aubameyang, that's why they brought in the signings they had made back then, like when Wenger was, you know, towards the tail end of Wenger's managerial career at Arsenal. With Chelsea, it's always been short projects. The Chelsea team has never felt like it's never a long-term project. It's worked for them, though, to their credit. It never looks like it actually needs a rebuilding.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say. So there's never a long-term project. So if a manager isn't doing well, them being sacked actually kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because you're looking at like a two-year project at max for Chelsea to be one of the best clubs in Europe, which hasn't happened, but you can't say that, like, with the players in hand.
But in my opinion, I mean, the way that you keep losing trust in a manager, and you keep bringing in newer people every time, just in one year gaps, it's not gonna help you win trophies much. And
see,
I think
let's
it's
be honest.
Very clear ever since that Conte sacking, they haven't been doing great. Yeah, you won the Europa
League. Chelsea is always going to be. For Chelsea, it's always going to be one season of success, then one disappointment. And then another season of success probably, and then he'll get sacked again, whoever the manager is.
The manager, I think, has that mindset that I'm going to get sacked if I don't perform, even if it's short-term.
Clubs like City and Liverpool now, we have like exerted our dominance over the last 3 years. So we always, everyone expects us to be challenging for titles. For Chelsea, it's stop started. Sometimes goes down, sometimes goes up.
Chelsea have never been a stable place for like players or managers. The only stable person who has been there is Roman Abramovich.
Terry, Frank Lampard, Drogba for a bit. Like the players have been stable a few of them. Hazard was there. Yeah. The thing is, stability is, I wouldn't say it's like a huge issue. Of course, it is something you take into consideration. You can't say that it's not.
Lampard wanted Declan Rice. Okay. Over like 200 million he spent, he still wanted Declan Rice. Okay, and Declan Rice, obviously, he's a Chelsea fan. His family is a Chelsea fan.
He used to play for the club as a kid.
Exactly, and they let him go. So Chelsea, obviously, they don't want to buy someone who they let go of. So
very rare cases that happen.
Yeah, so like now Declan Rice, like he'll think like it's not a stable place. Like now Tuchel has come, he might also get sacked. So it's better to go to some place like United where there may be some stability right now, because Solskjaer I don't think is going to be sacked. This season at least he's not going to be sacked.
See, not another thing is, you can, what was the year that Roman Abramovich took over Chelsea?
I think 2003, 2004, around that.
Three, I think.
Yeah, around that time.
2003.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so 2003. So ever since 2003, yeah. Chelsea has won the most trophies technically. Like, they've won, what, five Premier Leagues, six FA Cups, and they won a Champions League, which I think only United have done since 2003.
And Liverpool.
Liverpool, yeah. Now Liverpool, of course, 2018-19. But like, so you can't say that his process or his approach hasn't like won Chelsea titles. So that's one way to look at it, I guess. Of course, stability and constant change is also something to factor in.
Yeah, it's debatable, but I still think stability is necessary.
Yeah. So far with Tuchel, I'd like to see what happens, because now, well, Chelsea have won like two of their past three games, but
they've kept three clean sheets as well, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, this could also be a factor of a new manager coming in, right? Because when you have a new manager, you have a bit of spring in your step. You want to prove to him that you are you deserve a place in the first 11.
Yeah, at the start, like let's see how long this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Marcus Alonso has come out of nowhere and is now playing every game.
They're replacing the new signing, Chilwell.
Yeah, Alonso hasn't done. Yeah, he's played pretty well actually. Like the volley he scored against.
I think he had a problem with Lampard. So I think
even Jorginho has been starting every game now again.
I never thought Jorginho would start a game with Tuchel in charge, because like if you look at Tuchel's midfield in PSG, he liked players like, you know, Verratti or like Idriss Ege, like people who can run and like who are energetic, who are putting in tackles, who are doing all the work.
Jorginho is slower than a referee.
Jorginho wasn't like that.
There was this clip when the referee was running faster.
Yeah, he was
running. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
It was hilarious. But like, yeah.
I mean, we want to talk about Liverpool now, because now they have
Liverpool Rob. Is. So we've got Ozan Kabak and Ben Davis.
Again, these just sound like panic buys to me, just to fill up the numbers. They just need a centre back. They're not looking at quality.
I think Kabak might do well because of his ball playing abilities, and he's from, I mean, he played in the German league, which Klopp is familiar with. Yeah.
Yeah, but Schalke, they have.
Schalke won first game in like a year.
Yeah, in a year. Yeah, exactly. So.
No, but the thing is, this is my take at least, like. Liverpool has three centre backs who are out, right? Three of the centre backs.
I think Matip, Van Dijk, and Gomez, right?
Yeah. The thing here is, I personally don't, you know, you've got everyone saying that Liverpool would have been on the top if it weren't for these three not being injured. To me, it's like, it's not, every club has players that are injured. You're supposed to do well without them. You're going to have times where you don't have your players. Of course, these players are important.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of stuff happens, but the excuses which Klopp keeps coming up, that's what drives people.
To me, it's just... I mean,
one time the wind was the problem, the grass was
too long. I mean,
it's
understandable that they're struggling, but there's no need to come up with excuses and stuff.
No, but like, to me, it's not like every club. Liverpool isn't the first club to lose three key players. Every club has losses like that. You just have to deal with it.
So recently, Klopp said that City got a 2-week break.
Guardiola said it was 2 months.
Guardiola, he was like, he didn't expect Klopp to be that guy to have these excuses. So
nobody expects a manager to do that. I mean, no matter what kind of gameplay you have, no matter what kind of states you're in, you're not gonna keep taking shots at other teams for no reason or give stupid excuses like the pitch.
And then he also
dry.
Came up with United's penalties. He also
said that was
it.
Stupid.
And I think
I have a fact on that. I actually did some research recently where when Klopp said that he's never got 5 penalties in 5 years or something, actually Liverpool have had more decisive penalties this year than United. Just by one.
Exactly.
But yes,
oh,
it is.
No, that is a fact.
Playing mind games.
Fernandes, Milkman scores like 10 penalties. Damn, that's actually
Fernandes.
A fact. To me, it's just, to me, this season has like also gone, like, it has also gone to show us that like, Roberto Firmino just isn't, you know,
I think I have a theory why Liverpool, like, they have dropped points against, like, the bottom six teams. I think they have just drawn with someone, but
They lost most of the matches, Burnley, Brighton,
they drew with Fulham, Southampton as well, but Southampton are doing well.
They struggle against team who just defend all the time. That's why I have a good chance, they have a good chance to win tomorrow. Because they actually play well when teams open up.
Yeah, they've struggled against low blocks especially.
Exactly.
Yeah,
teams who defend really deep.
Yeah, because like they have wingers, okay. So like Mane, Firmino, and Salah, okay. And the midfield consists of now Thiago. He has been a flop. I mean,
I don't say a flop.
Yeah,
all the games he's played, they've lost. So
I don't think that's the reason. Like just because he's played, it doesn't mean they've lost.
He just hasn't had that much of an impact. That's all.
Impact. Exactly.
I feel like there's a chemistry issue with Thiago.
Liverpool never really have had a good midfield. So now that he comes in, he just
exactly.
balance goes out of the window.
Exactly. The like Wijnaldum and Henderson. Henderson plays at centre back. So.
they missed that work rate in the midfield, I think. Because Thiago does not have that much of a
difference. Yeah, exactly.
And they don't create much chances because the thing with Liverpool is
the chances that they created were because of their fullbacks, not because of their midfield.
Exactly.
Now that you've got someone like Thiago,
the midfield is not their creative space. They don't create much
exactly.
anger.
Bringing
the ball back and energetic players they need.
Yeah. Thiago's like a playmaker. He's going to pass the ball. Like he's going to pull off the most. He's going to pull off like great passes. But that's not what
and
Liverpool can do in this.
I have a rather unpopular opinion. I feel like they've missed Jota more than they've missed their centre backs.
But definitely, actually,
I was trying to say with Firmino, like, Firmino isn't the knight in shining armor everyone made him out to be.
Yeah.
Jota, the moment Jota came in, he started off with, like, a bang.
Yeah.
He scored
then
goals.
Some injury he got.
Jota,
he's out for the whole season, I think.
No, he's returned, I think.
He's coming back in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good for them, then.
Maybe he'll have a but it depends on what Klopp does. If he still believes in Firmino being world class,
he might play 4-4 in attack like he did against City in the first game.
I don't think Jota is fit for tomorrow.
No, he won't be.
This
is me over exaggerating, but like just play along, but like Klopp could play Roberto Firmino at like centre defensive midfield and Firmino would still be doing the same things.
His job is to hold the play and to supply the goal scorers who are Mane and
Salah. I don't even think he's doing that very well.
He's barely visible in the game.
The fact that he isn't means that he could be played at centre defensive midfield.
His holder play is good, so maybe he can know, but that's just a wild topic altogether.
Speaking of holder play and stuff, Harry Kane has been immense this season.
Yeah.
Harry Kane injured.
He's injured now, and Tottenham are like on a free fall.
Who thinks Mourinho should be sacked this year?
Mourinho's games are like the most boring thing to watch, man. Absolutely nothing.
What do you guys think? Does, like, if in the next three games, if he doesn't win any, like if he loses the next three, okay, let's just think, if he loses the next three, should he be sacked?
No.
I don't think he will.
No.
Why is that?
See.
Because he has performed this season. It's not like he hasn't performed this season.
Yeah, exactly. He can kind of blame it down to Kane being missing.
Exactly. And,
yeah, but you could argue that he is their best player, and when a team loses its best player, obviously it's not going to perform at the level it's supposed to be, right?
Wait, here's a question. Here's a question for you guys. Who do you think is Liverpool's best player?
This season?
No, like in general.
Van Dijk.
I think Van Dijk.
Van Dijk? Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's why the whole effect, but...
If Van Dijk played and they are like on the level with City, like they're around City's on the table, and like will we still say Van Dijk or will we say Salah, because he has 15 goals this season, he's a top scorer till now.
I would still say VVD.
Van Dijk is more important than Salah is.
Yeah, I'll take my... I have this take because when Liverpool did not have Van Dijk, everybody knew that Liverpool's defense is horrible. And definitely, it cannot... It's like not one that will help you win titles. And when they got in Alisson and Van Dijk, it totally changed. They became one of the best... defenses. from going to the finals with Karius in the Champions League, to getting Alisson the next year and then winning it is clear how defensively it totally changed everything for them. So definitely it has to be Van Dijk.
I think Van Dijk is a more important player than Salah, because I can like see other players, of course Salah has been great ever since he has been to Liverpool, but I can see like another player like producing good results from the right wing as well. Like,
Salah is selfish though. He's very selfish.
Salah can win you a game. Van Dijk makes sure you don't lose a game.
Yeah,
thing with Van Dijk is you always at least there's like a sense of security. Salah has some games where he's not at his best. Yeah. So yeah, that's something to talk about.
Liverpool are also missing Van Dijk's long passing. I think that has been like one of his biggest.
Yeah, the balls he played out of the other balls.
Mane and Salah always made those runs in between, and I think that kind of affected them a lot.
Even while taking corners, he had quite a few contributions in that.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great in the air as well. So like, yeah, Van Dijk, yeah.
It's not just defensively. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think
overall miss.
I love how the fact that like we're describing Van Dijk here, but like you can talk about Ruben Diaz and say that he's practically done very similar things, like with the sense of security and stuff.
Yeah.
Son as well. I mean, Son has been. Son.
Definitely, we'll talk about Tottenham now. So, Kane and Son. Their partnership this season. Anybody have any takes?
Son has 6 assists and how many goals? 12 goals. And
12 goals.
And 11 assists.
Kane is in double digits for both assists and goals.
Yeah, he's...
I think...
His role has changed, I feel. Like he's dropping deeper, he's becoming more of a playmaker.
But recently his assists have kind of dried up. De Bruyne has caught up, I think. It's 10 for De Bruyne now.
Yeah.
But
I know for a fact that Son hasn't scored in the past 5 league games.
I think they need that link up play between Kane and Son.
Yeah, they do.
And let's talk about what a massive flop Bale has been.
As Madrid fans,
we have a lot of
right wing actually. Our right wing is not good this year at all.
Yeah.
And we loaned him out so that he could do some work, maybe gain his confidence back.
He's just making the situation worse for him at the moment.
Yeah, but he's gotten actually worse, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's got better in golf, though, so that's a good thing.
The thing is, Mourinho doesn't even play him.
I mean, this just shows that there was nothing wrong with what Zidane was doing with him.
Mourinho doesn't play him because he's not worthy enough to start.
He doesn't even fit what Mourinho's whole setup.
Have you seen how how Bale plays now? He's like reluctant to go into challenges. I think he's afraid to get injured or something.
He barely runs.
His work rate is low. Like
his strength was running, his fast pace was running. He's not doing that anymore.
Maybe I think he's just like gotten over the game of football. Like how Andre Gomez was at one point where he's like, I don't want to play football and stuff.
He's 31. I think he still can play for like at least 2-3 more years.
He has a few years in him.
Thing with Gareth Bale is he's won it all when it comes to club football. So you can't.
And
Spurs trophy cabinet is like very dusty right now, so
they have a trophy cabinet.
David Moyes.
He's doing really great.
Jesse Lingard. I think they're fifth right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fifth. Yeah.
I think Souček has been like brilliant.
So many goals from midfield, I swear to God.
And it's defensive midfield as well. He doesn't even like go on the back.
How is this humanly possible?
He's been an FPL god, honestly.
This stuff doesn't even happen in gully football, I'm telling you.
Jesse Lingard,
he has more open play goals than Kevin De Bruyne this season.
Yeah, exactly. Really surprising.
De Bruyne, that's another topic because Wan-Bissaka has more goals than De Bruyne this season.
Open play.
Yeah. Also has like 10 assists, by the way.
Yeah. 10 assists. Does Wan-Bissaka have that?
Halfway through the assist record with less than half the games played.
Yeah, he has missed a lot of games.
He's missed quite the games too, yeah.
But West Ham, though, they have Lingard.
I think they had Antonio and really Souček, and their whole build-up with how they were playing.
Am I audible?
Playing. Yeah.
Yep.
I think Creswell also has stepped up this season massively. He's got 8 assists in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is massive.
And Rice has always been a great player for them.
Rice Souček partnership has really helped them.
Yeah,
it's solid, like very solid.
They might get Europa League this season. They can.
Maybe it's a high chance.
Yeah, they can.
Okay, now I'd like to shift everybody's attention to basic. Basically, we'll talk about the January transfer window. And how it's actually been quite the silent window,
we haven't had
at least for the clubs that we represent, it's been quite silent.
Maybe it's because of the post-COVID thing and how won't see many. I think for at least one more year, maybe two.
They'll spend for Tuchel.
But I was saying that we won't see winter windows being spent much.
Yeah, like, that I agree with.
We'll mostly see the summers being a bit more effective, and that too only if necessary. But otherwise, I don't think we'll be seeing more of those unnecessary transfers.
I think summer is like necessary for every single club out there, isn't it?
Some clubs don't actually aim for much in the winter transfer window.
Bruno has been the best January signing. Everyone agrees with that. With Van Dijk, he's up there with Van Dijk.
Van Dijk was also a winter one, right?
Yeah. He was up there with Van Dijk.
I think even Laporte was a winter transfer.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But he's I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, not that same impact. Not the same impact.
Not on that level, but yeah, he's up there.
Okay, but like as a Manchester United fan, I need to talk about Amad Diallo. He's 18 and he has played for, like, he's played two games for the under-23s and he has got six goal assists in two games. I mean, he's ready to start as a right winger for United, I think so, because we don't have a right winger. We have Greenwood playing there, and he's a striker.
You think he's better than Greenwood?
At this moment, Greenwood, as a right winger.
And there's also a question about how he can handle the physical players and the defenders and stuff. Like, they're like, Premier League defenders are like tall and huge players.
Yeah, like Werner said.
He's never seen these big defenders and strong defenders.
He played Brighton in the
first game, so it's understandable.
Brighton have like the tallest centre backs in the league, I think.
Burn is an absolute giant.
Burn, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Amad Diallo, he should have been sent on loan to Bayern and it would have been fine.
I think the most impressive signing is, according to me at least, this January transfer window. Papu Gomez to Sevilla.
He's going to be quite helpful for Sevilla and he might be helpful for Madrid too. Yeah.
That's like the main transfer, I would say. The biggest transfer, I would say. This winner.
To me, it's just like, dude, the guy was like the best player in Atalanta's history, okay? and he had a falling out. He won the player of the month for September, I think. And then he had a falling out with he fell out with his manager, Gasperini. And he's practically going to do exactly what he did at Atalanta in Sevilla. Of course, I haven't kept up with the La Liga, but I think Sevilla is also like third or fourth right now?
No, they're fourth.
Yeah, they're fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah, so he's practically going to do exactly what he was doing at Atalanta, and he was doing it really well. He was one of the most underrated players around.
He's going to have a huge impact, I definitely agree.
Yeah. What do you people say about the best summer transfer of the season?
Well, if I wouldn't have seen the first half of the season, like the first half, I like this half, I would definitely say Timo Werner. But now, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I would say Diaz, probably.
Ruben Diaz, easy, yeah.
Even Martinez for Villa has been a really good signing.
He said that he moved from Arsenal to Aston Villa.
I have Ashraf Hakimi who comes to mind. Like, he came in the summer, he was bought before that.
Yeah, that was a good
one.
Hakimi's time at Inter has been, he's done work, but then he hasn't produced.
He's
like,
not that
final,
great so. Defensively. He's almost like a winger, right?
But the thing with Inter Milan is you already play like five people at the back. Defense has never been a problem. So he just aids the attack, which is more than enough. And as long as you have a person in defense, of course, he won't be there the entire time because he's always like running up and down the wing. Whenever he's around, it's just more structural integrity and solidity.
Okay, I guess we're out of topics for today. So we'll wrap it up here. And if you guys liked, the viewers out there, if you guys liked it, please, like it and keep following our channel. We'll definitely be updating as regularly as possible. Thank you for today. Tune in next time.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.